now? Can you hear me now?
Only the sound of your voice.
Oh, okay. All right, these cables are all over the place. Hi there, I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell, the voice of the North Shore. Let me see, this is going on. All right, there we go. All right, so we got, this is North Shore Sports Night. I'll get it done eventually. And we mostly just kick sports around, talk some area sports, local sports, a lot of interesting rumors going around and about on the North Shore. I don't know if we're going to get into them or not, but we will be talking to Gary Larrabee. Missed Gary the last couple of weeks, and Gary will be back with us this evening, bringing us up to date on the local golf scene. And we'll also be talking with Nick Kukuru for show. Nick is the Gloucester Times sports editor, and a lot of events that you heard right here on MSO Radio involving Fiesta Sports. We did the, what did we do? The Seine Boat races, the eliminations on Wednesday night. On Friday night, we did the men's greasy pole. And then on Saturday, we did the semifinals of the men's Seine Boat races and the greasy pole. And on Sunday, we did the finals of the Seine Boat races and the greasy pole. And that's all available right here on our website. You can take a look at the post that we have just below this one. And also, streamography.com was doing their live streaming video on the St. Peter's Fiesta app, which I don't think that stuff is available. You can check it out. Go to the app and see. We will have many more events coming up. We got a special event coming up this Wednesday, Coach. I don't know if you call it sports or not, but we're going to be going to the North Shore Mall to take a look at some antique autos. I guess classic. I guess they have classic sports cars over there every Wednesday, so Bill and I are going to tool on over there Wednesday and show some live video and maybe climb into the cockpit or two.
Oh, those are always great takes because, you know, not only do you see cars from the decades that when we were growing up in the 50s, 60s, into the, you know, mid-70s, but you get some real old-time classics as well. But, boy, there's nothing like going back and stepping back in time into, you know, especially our youth when the muscle car really came of age before gas prices went soaring and EPA emissions came into effect and engine bays went from simply having an engine to something being unrecognizable, something as sophisticated as the space shuttle. You know, I mean, remember the days when you could literally climb into the engine bay and work on the engine?
Yeah.
Now you can't get past the top of the
Well, they put plates
the
on
top
it.
Of it.
But I had a 1969 Roadrunner in 1969.
Oh.
Silver gray, black bench seats, black the vertical racing stripes, the pair going down the nose, black vinyl roof, hard top, Hurst stick. Oh,
my buddy had
383.
My buddy had a 72, I think it was. He had one. A buddy of mine, his sister, she drove it all the time, had a 68 Camaro SS350, 4 on the floor. I mean, you know, kids may see them, but they don't understand truly what muscle cars are, the Camaro and the...
I know, don't you like this little black car that runs around with the silver wheels and it's just... Vroom, vroom. That cracks me up.
Man. The Honda 4-cylinder, they got them all tricked out.
It's too funny.
You know, but even you know, Chevy was smart enough to bring back the... And Dodge was smart enough to bring back the Challenger and the Camaro. Of course, they're up there, look, they're like Challenger and Camaros on steroids. Because they're pumped up.
Well, the retro Mustang,
the originals.
The retro Mustang that came out a couple of years ago, that looks like the Shelby 350 or the Shelby 500 is awesome. Oh, what a great design!
Oh,
terrific design!
And they're scary looking, but I mean, you just can't touch.
Oh,
you know,
oh man!
The original, but you know, you think back of how unsophisticated they actually were.
Oh, they were the Roadrunner was just a Plymouth Satellite. With a big engine and the four stick.
Bed seats with a four seat.
Yeah, it was awesome. I loved it. And I don't like bucket seats or paired seats, which every car has now. Every car has them.
Yeah.
I like the old bench, man.
Yep. And the vent windows?
Well.
Vent windows? I mean.
Oh, no, these went down completely. So when the windows went down, you had this wide open space. It was really, there was no bar. There was no bar anywhere, no vertical bar on the doors. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Bill and I'll be looking for a Roadrunner, and we'll see what else is over there. I'm sure it'll be some great classic cars on Wednesday.
What time is that starting?
5 o'clock.
Oh, I'm getting my hair cut late afternoon. I may have to drive through there on the way home.
Okay. And on Thursday, I'll be at the Aganis game. I'm not sure who's going to be with me. I think Paul Ingram will be with me. And when I say the Aganis game, I mean the football game, because many, many sporting events going on right now as we speak at the Aganis Classics. We tried to get Paul Halloran last week. He's just way too busy to come on with us tonight. And we're also going to try to talk with Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt. Not all that optimistic about it because the team is practicing at 7 o'clock. And I am going to rerun the interview we did last week with the South coach Lou Ciccatelli. We'll get that one up again. We ran it last week. We're going to run it again. And then we will have the football game live on Thursday night. And if I'm there by myself, I'll be there by myself. Coach won't be available, but Paul Ingram might be. He said he would be, but I'm not sure he even knows who was texting him. So we'll see about that.
Well, he's extremely technologically sophisticated anyways, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, he puts together these DVDs, these football DVDs. They're amazing, these highlights and training videos and all that other stuff. So he can really
I'm not sure he
sling the computer around.
I'm not sure he doesn't have a ghostwriter for those things.
So. Well, I know that he did a lot of them. He used to do the highlights for the banquets and all that good stuff. So we'll see, and I know there'll be plenty of people there to talk with and talk about. So that's Thursday. The Aganic Classics, the Aganis Classic football game on MSO, and kickoff is at 7 p.m. So now, all that's coming up this week.
Isn't Roger Clemens from Katy, Texas?
Sounds familiar.
Yes. Tragedy there today as a woman was fatally shot by police after she shot her two grown daughters.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. It's 22 and 17. Oh, my God.
Well, with that, let's take a break.
Never mind. I won't
let's take a break. Let's not go there. We'll take a break. We'll come back and hopefully be talking with Gary Larrabee on MSONewsSports.com.
Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
All right, so we're just talking about technology, and it has failed. It has failed us. We just got a hold of Gary, and Gary Larrabee has not been getting my email, so he didn't know that we were going to be calling him, and we'll talk to Gary in a little while. He's got to go get his notes, so we will get Gary back on in just a little while and get caught up with all kinds of golf news, local and otherwise. Been a couple of weeks, as I said, since we've talked with Gary, so we'll get him on. We also will talk with Nick Kukru later on about all the events at Fiesta. I talked with Scott Amiro. You know Scott, don't you?
Who's that?
Scott Amiro. He's the he works at the DPW, and he's the football He takes care of the football stadium.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Great guy, great guy. Excellent athlete, but he did the greasy pole walk on Saturday, and He doesn't look any the worse for wear, but boy, he's got to be a little stiff and a little sore, I'll tell you. So he's been walking the greasy pole for 30 years now. And he said, that's it. He's retired after this one. This was the last, his last greasy pole walk. So we will talk to Nick about all that stuff. And so far in the Agganis Classics, I guess the baseball game was it last night or tonight?
Last.
The North one.
Softball and baseball.
Okay, the North won the baseball game, I believe.
Yeah, 11-6.
Yeah.
Softball was 5-3 to the South. And the North was 11-6 winners in baseball with Damas's Tim Unsker walking away with the MVP for the South. And Pawtucket's Kiernan Haley was the North MVP. So certainly an exciting game at Frazier Field. It's interesting. I was going through my Twitter messages today. I'm more of a follower than a major contributor on Twitter, but I get a lot of the sports updates from. Dan Roach's first visit to Frazier Field, which I found rather unusual, but he complimented the facility, and it should be complimented because the Lynn DPW. Does an outstanding job of maintaining the fields, both Manning Bowl or Manning Field and Frazier Field, with Frazier Field the last of the remaining two Depression era sports arenas that were built in Lynn, the original Manning Bowl being, of course, the other. And those of us of a certain age remember going to Manning Bowl and the great size of it. It was probably one of the largest football stadiums around outside of Harvard Stadium probably at the time, because certainly the Patriots didn't have a home field back in the 60s like the high school teams in Lynn did, and certainly over the years it deteriorated and eventually had to be replaced. But the facility that the city replaced it with is certainly one to be very, very proud of, and they've held a number of events there over the last few years. And certainly the Agganis game still calls Manning Field its home. And as Rick mentioned, he'll be there on Thursday night for that particular edition of the game. And again, it's 40 years now for the Agganis tradition. And if you go to agganisfoundation.com, you can get the schedule of all of the games, some that have already taken place, beginning on Sunday. Again, the baseball and the softball games were there tonight. The boys and girls basketball games are taking place at Lynn Classical High School. Tomorrow night, it's the boys and girls soccer matches are going to be taking place. And on Wednesday, it is lacrosse. And then on Thursday night is the culmination with the 55th annual football game. The Agganis All-Stars, of course, named after legendary Lynn athlete Harry Agganis. Again, a West Lynner, of which I am very proud to be as well. And as I mentioned in the past, for a short while, I lived on Waterhill Street, which is a street that Harry and his family lived on. And still today in Lynn is probably the largest funeral ever held in Lynn. Over 10,000 people jammed the North Commons, South Common, where the funeral took place at St. George's Church. And he has a very prominent headstone at Pine Grove Cemetery, right off of one of the Boston Street entrances, not the main entrance, but the side entrance to the right hand side of the. Of the main gate, but it's a beautiful headstone, and all the athletes that play should really again know and come to appreciate the level of athletic talent that Harry possessed, and the type of person that Harry was. Harry was just from what I have read and stories that I have been told by individuals, just an amazing individual whose life ended way, way too short, and it shows. And that talks right to the fragility of life, that you never know how much time you are given. And if he had suffered the same malady today. He'd have been treated. He'd have probably been back on the field in less than a year to continue his career with the Red Sox. He could have played football. He could have played baseball. He chose baseball so that he could be close to his mother. And he still lived. And he still lived at home. When at home games, he went back to Lynn to be with his mother. He was a devoted son, a devoted family member, and we should well remember that those are some of the more important things in life, and those are the things that Harry's remembered for. There's an interesting quote from Maya Angelou as you enter Addison Gilbert Hospital. It's on one of the benches. We will not be remembered for what we said, but we will be remembered for how we treated other people. And I think that is Harry's living testament.
I think one of the things that's so important to me, Tim, in doing what we do, I mean, this is our this is fun. We have fun with sports. We have this little internet radio station that we've been talking on for 11 years now. And we're sports freaks. We just love sports. We got the little kid in us that will never go away, as many guys do. And the thing that resonates with me and has all my life, two words. And the first one came from my dad, teamwork. My dad was a Marine on Iwo Jima, and he always talked about teamwork and how sometimes you have to sacrifice the one for the many in whatever aspect. Hopefully not certainly with the ultimate sacrifice. But sometimes you have to give up personal gain for the benefit of the team. And I think that since we've been doing this, we've had the New England Patriots. The point, too, is, okay, that's what a team does. But he was talking about teamwork in life, in work, in obviously as a Marine. But in anything, teamwork, you have to help each other out. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that's lost in sports. Especially I was talking with I'm teaching a class right now this week to teachers, and some of them were talking about how they teach kids in certain schools that shall be nameless, where every kid is going to go into the major leagues, and they should be treated thusly from fifth grade on. And it's just it's bizarre to me, because my thing, and Barry Hanrahan is my go-to. Barry Hanrahan was a good athlete, wanted to be in the NHL as a player, didn't make it, had a backup plan, sports management, and he's the assistant general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers, and loves what he does. He had a backup plan, but he's still working in that realm. And to me, you got to have a backup plan. But that notwithstanding, teamwork is the number one phrase that comes to my mind. But maybe even superseding that, my dad talked about, and I'm reading about this right now, character. And I know that football coaches frequently talk about character, and they mean it. And a lot of coaches mean it more than others. We have, God, how many football coaches on the North Shore, Tim, that you and I know who absolutely preach character and insist on good character. And by character, I mean good person, doing what you're supposed to do, doing the right thing, helping people, not hurting other people. And I don't mean the physicality of football. I'm talking about, again, in life, showing up on time, doing what you're supposed to do, do your homework, whatever it is, and do it with a smile on your face. Character. And I'm reading this book, I'm just finishing it now, the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And character is right at the beginning. Character. You have to be of good character. And so what I'm getting to is someone like Harry Aganis, we can say, unlike Charles Barkley, is a role model. You know, Harry Aganis is what we ought to look up to. And someone like, maybe Dustin Pedroia in public life. In baseball, obviously Tom Brady, and you can name almost any Patriot, any New England Patriot, and say, okay, that's what you're supposed to be like when you play sports or being a human being. Celtics, I don't know about right now. I don't know the Celtics that well. The Bruins, I'm going to start right at the top with Patrice Bergeron. And so these guys, as an instructor, as an educator, Tim, I point to these guys and say, okay, that's how you do it. And obviously you have talent, but that's how you do it.
Yeah. But we also, and the thing we also have to accept are, even those individuals are not perfect, as we found out this weekend with the report that Ray Bourque was arrested over the weekend for DUI. And, they are human. They do have trip-ups, and he rear-ended a vehicle, and now he'll be appearing in court, and that will be all over the papers, simply because his name is Ray Book. And I just hope that you know, he is treated with the with the respect and propriety that not that his notoriety gains him, but certainly as any other citizen who, you know, makes that misjudgment and has an incident like that, appears and goes away. But well, certainly it's going to cost him.
And what you hope is that it wasn't, is that all it was misjudgment, and that it isn't indicative of a bigger problem. I looked at some social media stuff, and I was wavering back and forth. Someone said, well, why didn't the local police just, you know, it's Ray Bork, give him a ride home, blah, 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 which is what used to happen in the 60s and 70s, and maybe still happens today. You know someone as a police officer, you say, okay, I know you were out at a wedding or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Leave the car here, we'll get you a ride home. Okay, that's fine. On the other hand, you don't know a person and you do that same thing, or even the person you do know, if there's a bigger problem there, you're not really helping the guy.
No, no, and I think you see less and less of that kind of sweeping under the rug thing nowadays as in the past, because there's somebody coming by, oh, look, that's Ray Book, and all of a sudden there's a camera, you know, phone out with taking pictures or they're taking video. And, you know, there's a liability that goes along with that, and I think the police become very much aware of that, and they don't want to be put in that kind of compromising position any longer where, okay, they're just, you know, blown it off because it's a celebrity of one sort or another. And, you know, Joe Schmo down the road has the same thing happen, and he's in the back in handcuffs, you know, spending two or three nights in the jail cell and then appearing in court. And being, you know, put through, in some instances, the ringer and the embarrassment. And the other individual who does the exact same thing, but because they have a name, you know, walks away unscathed. And you know, that's the duplicity of our judicial system that has existed. I think you're seeing a little leveling of the playing field in certain instances with people having cell phones and video.
Well, and also, you know, God knows I love Ray Bork, you know, and he's been a pillar. He's an icon. I would love to be able to meet him and interview him. I saw him once at the Liberty Tree Mall, a classy, classy guy, and from all accounts, a good neighbor and all this other stuff. You know, but there's a message to kids. Don't matter who you are. You got to fly straight, man. I'm sure this will all come out in the wash. It's not a giant thing. Thank God no one was hurt. And, you know, as you say, people are human.
Yeah, you know. Years ago, and I'm talking years ago, I had the opportunity to meet, you know, a number of the Bruins in the early mid '80s through some local contacts, and you know, upright guys, though they're young guys, and you know, Ray has always been the classy face of the organization. I mean, you know, what organization trades their one of their Hall of Fame players so that he has the opportunity to win a Stanley Cup?
Yeah.
You know, they traded him so he could go and win a Stanley Cup. I mean, that's that's a level of respect. And when he came back into Boston to play, the place erupts because everybody understood the way that the Bruins were constituted and at that particular time, they were not going to win. But I think it was the Avalanche. I think it was
Denver. Yeah, it was Denver.
Had the opportunity
or Colorado,
to win,
I guess.
And they were looking, they were willing to make a deal with the Bruins, and he went out there, and you know, it was weird seeing him in that uniform, but you could see he still had the skills. He settled down their defense. He was a rock back there on the power play. He was still outstanding. He still had that cannon of a shot, you know. And
well, contrast that. Contrast this era with the first Stanley Cup winning Bruins team of Bobby Orr back in 71 or 72 or whatever it was. And Phil Esposito's in the hospital, and the guys go in and they grab his hospital head, Mass General, and they wheel him out across the street to a bar, you know. And so, I mean, that kind of stuff now would be, oh my goodness gracious, I can't even imagine that. So,
oh yeah, it was a different time. It was a different era. You know, there were characters on. Every team had characters. That's the difference in the in the league today. There are no real characters anymore, you know. But you know, I hope this doesn't. I don't think it's going to have a major impact on the way people see Ray.
Oh, for heaven's sake,
no. You know, but there are those who are going to, you know, use it for, you know, it is, and those people, you know, should just crawl back in the cave and go away. You know, the guy's been an upstanding citizen, not only of this region, but as a representative of the Bruins, of the National Hockey Association, of hockey in general. And, you know, who among you hasn't had a hiccup along the road? And how many of us, you know, haven't found ourselves in that same situation and maybe, you know, going against our better judgment, you know, sat behind the wheel of the car, got home, and boy, how the hell did I get here? You know, and it's an unfortunate turn of events that he happened to, you know, collide with another vehicle. Luckily, nobody was injured. And hopefully it just blows over. It just goes away. It's just dealt with, you know, quickly, and it's all behind him.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to live with that. You know?
Yep.
So.
All right. Well, you know, that's cool. And, you know, other things going on at the pro level. The Red Sox are swooning a little bit earlier than I anticipated. But
what did I say last week?
Yeah, well, you know.
They're running out of time for the June swoon?
The pitching staff. Oh, no, they have. The June swoon is there. I mean, they've stunk in the month of June. And injuries. I mean, good grief, the injuries are piling up. And Big Poppy all of a sudden is crashing.
Does Kaz get hurt again, or are they just shipping him down? I heard him talking on the radio. Was it today? They're talking about shipping him down to Pawtucket.
Hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
I had not heard that.
Because he's not hitting well? Leave the kid in the lineup. He's your best damn catcher. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Hannigan can't catch right knuckleball. Every pitcher loves
well,
that.
Well, Hannigan's not even there. Leon is. Leon.
And Leon's not. Hannigan's coming back, but they're thinking about just going with Hannigan and Leon in the short time and sending Vasquez, I guess, back to AAA to let him try to figure out his hitting. Going down there is not going to help him figure out his hitting. That's why you get hitting coaches on the major league team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need his defense. You need his arm. You know, I mean, Hannigan is a nice backup. He doesn't give you anything more with the bat. You know, and he gives you less defensively than Vasquez. And right now, they need all the defense that they can handle.
Don't know. I mean, injuries up the wazoo, and too bad. We'll see.
Well, you know, the rarity of your outfield is just, you know, it's like a firing squad. They're just going down one after the other.
Yep.
I was at the game last Thursday, and which was interesting. We sat up in the pavilion seats. Oh my God. I sent a picture of our seats to a buddy of mine, and he said, nosebleeds.
Mm.
Nosebleeds? I didn't have any blood left by the time he sent me that message.
All right, let's see if we can get a hold of Nick Kukru. We'll talk some local Fiesta sports, and then we'll talk Gary Larrabee some golf. The Aganis Classic's underway. We will have the Aganis football game on Thursday night, and Bill and I will be at a Classic Auto show at the at the North Shore Mall on Wednesday. That'll be a 5 o'clock broadcast, and it'll be a 7 o'clock broadcast from the Aganis game. Just doing the audio on Aganis, just on radio, but we're going to have a lot of fun with that. We'll tell you about all the local All-Stars in just a little bit.
MSO Radio, North Shore Now, news and sports. Josh Arnold's Trending Now.
What do you think of the presidential primaries now? I mean, it's you know, we've made it this far along. Any sense of how it's? Do you see anything coming out of this other than a Trump-Clinton square off in November?
Trending Now with Josh Arnold on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we're back with Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt, coach of the North, and we caught him at practice. How are you, Coach?
I'm hanging in there, doing well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks for joining us. I know how busy you are. Coach, I want to start right away with Doug Santos. Bring us up to speed on that Shriners game.
I was at the game up in Lowell, you know, for a kid who you know, had limited carries. You know, these All-Star games, they pass the ball around, which is a good thing. He made the most of his opportunities. Yeah, rushed for over 100 yards and two TDs against the best in the state. I know he was happy with his performance. I couldn't have been happier with the results. So I'd like to have seen him win, but on an individual basis, I was happy with the way he played.
Coach, congratulations on a great year and also on the great career and a relationship you've had with Doug Santos. I know that now where he knows where he's going to be next year, you must feel very proud and a tad relieved.
Couldn't be happier. You know, I felt that he could have played at the Division I level. Those coaches didn't agree with that, and so he's going to play Division II and hopefully turn some heads.
That's great. All right, Coach, here we are at the Aganis practice. One thing that's different this year is you get to practice on your home field, and how cool is that?
Oh, we did it last year, and we were able to practice the team. That's a huge advantage for us and for our players. But for the most part, it's just an honor to be a part of the game. I mean, I was lucky enough to play in it as a player, and having the opportunity to coach it last year was a big thrill. And when they asked me to do it again this year, I didn't hesitate. I jumped at the opportunity.
Well, I'll tell you what. I talked to Coach Lou Ciccatelli last week too. He said the exact same thing, and they're practicing down in Revere. And how's it gone so week? One of the things so far, Coach, he was a little worried about attendance. How has attendance been for your practices?
Well, on a daily basis, it's up and down.
Yeah.
Today, they have the Gannis basketball game. We got a couple of guys playing in that. You get the Gannis lacrosse game. You know, we've got the best athletes around, and those athletes play other sports. Throw that in with some college orientations that are running into this week.
Yep.
You know, day in and day out, different kids are missing. But we're not going to make excuses. We have enough good athletes. If guys have to play both ways in practice, they will. As long as they're there Thursday to represent their schools and their communities and, can come out and compete and hopefully, win their last high school football game, we'll be happy.
Start with your kids, Coach. Who from Peabody is going to be playing?
Obviously, Dougie Santos will be running the ball. Frankie Falco, one of our middle linebackers, who had a phenomenal career for us, will be playing. Unfortunately, one of our defensive backs, Ugana Okinawa, tore his MCL in practice on Tuesday.
Oh no!
So that was a terrible thing that happened to Ugi. The whole team feels for him, and he'll be at the game, on crutches. But it doesn't take away from the great career he had in high school. Hopefully he can fix that knee up and get on the field down at Bridgewater State.
Absolutely. I still remember the game he had against Everett and what a great game you guys played, and they just took that damn thing away at the end. But who else is anybody stood out for you, Coach? Anybody that maybe you've seen on the other side of the ball saying, okay, this guy's fun to work with?
Oh, we got some great defensive linemen. The kids from Beverly, kids from Gloucester, the kid Rodriguez from St. John's Prep, the linebacker from Linfield, T.J. Finn's in Prep. Paul Lazaro from Essex Tech is a heck of an athlete. Dakota Mullen, we get him working on both sides of the ball. He's such a good athlete. Our two quarterbacks, CJ Cooper and Kendrick Nose, have done a great job of picking up the offense we're going to run in this game and being leaders in that regard. A couple of big-time blockers for us is the kid from Linfield, Hugh Balistrieri. He's done a nice job. Our offensive line has really been cohesive in a short period of time. With the work that we've done, I'm excited for Thursday night, and I think the kids are too.
Sounds great,
Coach. With limited time, you have the kids together, and they all come from a variety of different offenses throughout the region. I know talking to Paul Ingram in the past, and he's known for the wing T, and he said, you really don't have enough time to get everybody down with the blocking assignments. What kind of offense will you guys put together for Thursday night?
Well, we'll have one that we pound the ball, we'll have one where we spread the ball out. We want to try to get use the kids' strengths. This game isn't about the coaches; it's about the players. So we try to make sure we come up with offenses that are able to highlight the strengths of the kids that we have. So we'll throw the ball, we'll run the ball, we'll pound the ball near the goal line. We got a pretty good offensive line. We got some great guys in the backfield who can block and run the ball. And if they stop that, we get a couple of real heady quarterbacks that can. Do some play action and find the end zone.
Coach, one last question on Dougie Santos. Brendan Flaherty went to Holy Cross because everybody knew he was an outstanding running back for Beverly, but he turned into almost a flanker and he set all kind of records out there. Do you see Dougie being moved around a little bit out of his running back position into some kind of role like that that puts him one on one?
I think what makes Doug special is he's dynamic. You can put him in the backfield. You can put him in a slot. You can put him in. He's got great hands. He runs great routes. He's got breakaway speed. I think Assumption will find what part of the puzzle he fits in. The Assumption was great to us. They stuck by him throughout the whole process, and I've never faltered. And they've been honest right up to today. And I think that the Assumption has a plan for him. You know what that plan is. Dougie will adjust and do the best that he can to contribute to help Assumption win football games.
It's a great story, Coach. You've made a lot of people really, really happy and proud for you guys here on the North Shore. So congratulations on that. We'll see you Thursday night. If you get a chance, can you email me who you got playing on each side of the ball when you get a chance?
Absolutely.
All right, Coach. We'll see you Thursday. And again, congratulations. And have fun. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
right.
Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Mark Betancourt. And again, if anybody doesn't know the story, oh, man. Doug Santos was sort of adrift as a freshman. Coach Betancourt not only nurtured him as a coach, but also took him into his family and guided him. He was a man without a school, was young Mr. Santos, as recently as I think it was in December or something like that. And Coach Betancourt said, what the heck is going on? And, you know, he got the word out, and anybody who's seen Doug Santos play knows that the kid can play at a college level.
Yeah, that was the strangest thing. I think a lot of places.
But he's also become a terrific student. Didn't mean to interrupt there, Coach.
No, it's, you know, unfortunately, you know, schools don't look, most schools don't look at your transcript. They look at your statistics from your games. And I don't know what had teams shying away from him. I mean, over the last 2 years, he's gained nearly 4,000 yards on the ground. He is a breakaway threat that the area hasn't seen in quite a while. You give him one step into the defensive backfield, he gets through the first line, and it's Dixie by the door. He's just gone.
He's at full speed at his second step. He's
oh
full
my
speed.
God! Yeah. It's, I mean. Every time he had the ball in his hands, there was an expectation that something big could happen, and quite often something did happen.
Oh, yeah.
He carried that team. He willed that Peabody team to win, and his constant striving of excellence, I think, had a tremendous impact on that Peabody team. That this guy is going to play this hard and do these kind of things. We've got to get out there. We've got to block better. We've got to get downfield and block for him. We've got to do everything better. We've got to play defensively better so that we don't waste the points that he's putting on the board.
Well, good story, and we will see Doug Santos and Coach Mark Betancourt on Thursday. It'll be at 5 p.m. Talked to Coach Ciccatelli last week, and two great guys. I mean, Coach Betancourt coaches baseball. He coaches football, and he doubled up on the football job. And, man, he almost instantly, Tim, changed the character of that team and how it plays and how it looks to other schools. And, of course, his baseball prowess is well known. Great success for how many years now? Just year in and year out.
Yeah, and you know, he was a student of Ed Nismantowski, the former Peabody head coach, who had great success as well, and I think he follows a lot of the past practices of Niz in terms of game preparation and game planning. The philosophy, you know, it's hard nosed. It's get down, get dirty, be a dirt dog, do what you got to do to win, you know, within the rules of the game. But play, and that is play hard, play intense, play smart. Believe in yourself.
Well,
those are the things that Niz believed in. Those are the things that you can see Coach Betancourt drills into these kids that you, on any given day, you can go out and beat anybody you want.
I think all of our coaches strive to do that. The problem is in the transition and how you get the kids to execute, how you get them in the weight room, how you get their head screwed on straight, how you build character in them. And that's the difficulty with any coach. It's a difficulty with any teacher in trying to get your message across. And Coach Betancourt does it as well as anybody.
He certainly does. And kudos to the kids in Peabody, who, again, have been taught about the Peabody tradition of not only football and baseball, but basketball, track, okay, hockey. I mean, you know, it's long-standing traditions in boys and girls sports that, you know, we might succeed. It's we will succeed. there, and it's a mindset.
Great pride in that city, absolutely, absolutely. And a great city all the way around. I love living on the North Shore, Coach. This is fun. So we got the Guinness All-Star Classic coming up on Thursday, and we will have live broadcast starting at about, a little bit before game time, probably around 6:45 or 6:30, so tune in then. Okay, let's see. Now, we do have to break again, then we'll come back and see if Gary Larrabee can help us out with some golf stuff. We'll be right back. This is MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the New Report Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B, average, or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, while these guys are exchanging pleasantries, let's get back to action here. Gary Larrabee joins us. He has found his way to the microphone. And, Gary, it's been a while. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, again, got to blame technology. I don't know what the bozo's going on with my emails, but we'll get that squared away. And Gary, wanted to talk to you a couple of weeks ago about the U.S. Open and that bizarre ending, maybe get some update. But what are your thoughts on that weird last day at the Open?
Well, obviously, justice was served with Dustin Johnson winning by 3 shots. But the only negative that comes out of the whole tournament was the fact that the USGA officials did not know how to handle a questionable, minuscule movement of the ball on the putting green when Dustin Johnson was putting in the early going. And just to make a long story short, the USGA told them they may penalize them later in the round or at the end of the round, and big name players who had already finished who were watching it blasted the USGA for the way they handled it. The USGA does assess a 1-stroke penalty at the end of the day, but it didn't matter because Dustin Johnson was far enough so far ahead. The USGA apologizes the next day for screwing things up. And best of all, Dustin Johnson, after missing that short putt last year, which would have got him into a playoff at the Chambers Bay for the U.S. Open with Jordan Spieth, wins this year going away, despite the idiotic attempts of the USGA to throw him off his game or whatever, and all is well in the golf world with Dustin Johnson winning.
You know, Gary, I listened to TuneIn Sports from across the pond, and they had constant coverage from the golf tournament. And to say that the reporters were gobsmacked would be putting it lightly. They, you know, how staid the British can be and stickle for the rules. They could not believe how badly that was fumbled by the golf officials. You know, they were coming and going. You know, first they said, did you move the ball? He said, no. They said, okay, fine, no transgression. Then they came back and said, we're going to look at it, and we may penalize you. And then they told everybody, that they were going to penalize him. And they were more and more perplexed by what the hell was going on over here as to the scenario that unfolded. They couldn't believe it was happening.
Yeah, you know, they supposedly call themselves professional golf officials, those who work for the USGA, and some of them are professional and full-time, but most of the people who are involved with the USGA their major championships, all their tournaments, period, are volunteers. That won't happen again, I assure you. And the bottom line is, with any of the other organizations, when there's an issue, either you assess the penalty on the spot when the belief is that the transgressions occurred, or you leave it alone forever.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a situation like a few years ago when on the last hole of the PGA Championship, Dustin Johnson moved some dirt, sand, if you will, in this gigantic waste area, which nobody thought was a bunker, but it was in fact a bunker. Johnson was penalized when he came off the last green, and that was the right way to do it, right on the spot at the end of that last hole. The USGA learned a lesson from this, hopefully, and they'll hopefully have the egg removed from their faces before they play next year's U.S. Open at Erin Hills out in Wisconsin.
Gary, what's big on the local scene? Obviously, the weather has been pretty agreeable so far this early part of the season. The winds have been up, which can wreak havoc with a game.
Indeed, but the fact it's been virtually extremely dry is the best part of it. Nothing's been postponed, nothing's been canceled. We need some rain for the golf courses, for the lawns, for the water supply. But going on today, guys, as we speak, breaking news, as everyone is calling the term these days, they're playing the PGA Club Professional Championship out in Turning Stone Casino Resort out there in upstate New York with Tim. I know you've lost zillions of dollars on the crap tables. And Kirk Hannafeld from Salem, the director of instruction at Salem, he missed the cut today, shooting 148. But we can congratulate David Dye on the head pro at Beverly. He made the cut shooting 146. So that's happening here and now. And, of course, the other big story, I think, is the story of Rob Oppenheim, who
mm-hmm.
Salem-born, grew up in Andover. His parents live up there. Rob lives in Orlando with his family, but he's making a fairly good move this year to retain his playing card, even though we're only at the end of June. He had a great tournament yesterday, finished tied for 11th at the Quicken Loans tournament that Tigers Foundation runs down at Congressional. He shot three rounds in the 60s with the middle round, second round 71. He shot 277. He won $180,000. For finishing minus 7, 10 shots behind the winner, Billy Hurley III, the former Annapolis grad who flew jets in the Navy for 5 years. Two great stories there, and that's a big jump for Rob. He's moved up to almost $400,000, I believe, in earnings this year, maybe more. He's going to have a pretty fair shot if he keeps playing at this level of maybe at least getting his card for next year. He may even break through this year, guys, and win. There are some guys breaking through this year, like Smiley Kaufman several weeks ago, and now Billy Hurley. Why not Rob Oppenheim next week?
Certainly is. And, we've talked about this numerous times. Over the last several years, the number of new names that have popped up on the top of the leaderboard on Sunday afternoon and walked away with the trophies.
We talk about almost every week, every year, and it's no different this year, guys, and there have been several. Another guy, I think, is Jim Herman, who's a first-time winner this year. I think there were a couple others that escaped my memory right now, but there's no reason, based on the way Rob is playing right now, that he could be another one who will break through. We can only hope, but lots of opportunities left, and he certainly is playing the best he's played during this his rookie year on the PGA Tour so far.
You know, one of the things I think is missing for a lot of people that have you know grown up with the golf game over the years and through the especially the last probably 40, 50 years, the age of the dominant few. It seems like, you know, beyond Spieth, that there's nobody that goes out there on a real consistent level and wins. They're close. It's like they're all from the Tom Kite school to finishing second. But there's no real dominant force in the game right now, as I look at it.
We thought there was a big three or a big four looming, but has Jordan Spieth won this year? Once, yes, he did win earlier this year, but he hasn't done anything in the first two majors. Willett won the first major. Dustin Johnson wins the second. Where's Jason Day? Where's Rory McIlroy?
Yep,
where's
yep.
Who else am I thinking of? Anyways,
we thought those were the big
Fowler,
three.
For example, right now there's no big one, there's no big three, there's no big four. It's been fragmented, Tim, as you were suggesting, and it's just because there were so many good players. This is a recording. but there are so many good players out there. You never know who's going to win from one week to the next. Even the old timers. I mean, Vijay Singh, 53 years old, was in the hunt right down to the back nine yesterday. And
yep.
Ernie Els was in the hunt for 3 days and a few holes in the last round. Ernie is 46. I mean, the fields are wide open, guys. And Spieth is no longer a sure thing. After he had a great year last year, but he's not going to have that this year unless he wins the last two majors. And these other guys are quite questionable. McIlroy, Day was supposed to be the best player of the year, and he missed the cut. Or, no, I should say he almost missed the cut. He made the cut at the Open and actually finished strong, but he hasn't won a major this year yet.
So that ought to make for a very interesting FedEx Cup.
Oh, no question. I mean, long ways to go there.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you know, who's got any points?
They're pretty well spread out, obviously. I haven't seen the list, but, you know, wide open, and, you know, the top 100 players at the end of that FedEx competition get to play in the Big Four tournament starting the end of August, which, of course, includes, you know, the Barclays is down Metropolitan New York, then they come up here to the Deutsche Bank. Then they go out to the Chicago area, I think, and then they end up in Atlanta. So that's wide open as well.
Right.
We're always looking for, though, is that number one player. We don't have a big-time number one player right now. Jordan Spieth was short-lived, and we'll see. Jason Day is up there at number one, but he hasn't done anything great this year to really win three times, but no majors. It's still all about majors, guys.
All right, Gary, any update on the 2017 Senior Open?
Well, you know, tickets are available. You can go online and buy tickets for next year. There's several different very appealing ticket packages. Volunteer opportunities are wide open as well. Also can be connected with online at 2017ussenioropen.com. That's 2017. And everything is getting very much formulated. Putting all the pieces of the puzzle, all the committees are together. Lots of logistics to put together this year, and there'll be a small contingent of Salem Country Club and 2017 U.S. Senior Open officials flying out to Columbus for this year's Senior Open coming up the end of July at Scioto, where Jack Nicklaus grew up, learned his golf, and of course he and Barbara will be co-honorary chairman of this year's Senior Open. So we'll be getting really revved up once they get this year's Senior Open.
Oh yeah.
Out of the finished up.
Yeah, those calendar pages are flying off the wall like in the old movies. Finally, Gary, you want to tease what you're working on for the Salem News this weekend?
Well, there's a couple of possibilities. Thanks. Very special 40th anniversary for a very, very popular victory at the 1976 Mass Open at Worcester. They played this year's Mass Open just earlier this month when Linz Paul Barkhouse was the winner. We also may write about a very unique trip I took to New Hampshire last week to Mount Washington Valley where there's some wonderful golf courses. And we all like to have getaways and play golf with getaways, and that's a wonderful destination getaway to play golf in some very unique courses, with all the courses looking up at the White Mountains and Mount Washington in some cases, and you'll get one of those two this Friday, Rick.
All right, that sounds great. And Gary, we are off next Monday for obvious reasons. It's the 4th of July, but we will be back in 2 weeks.
I will look forward to being part of being with you.
You betcha. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it.
Thanks, take care. Thanks, guys. Be well.
Gary Larrabee, golf writer, golf is, sports historian, and
aficionado.
Yeah, part of that, I don't know, contingent of writers that the sports writers that have just continuously come out of the Salem News. I'm looking at tweets and Matt Williams winning a huge writing award as the best sports writer in New England, I believe. And Mike Lynch tweeting out congratulations to Matt Williams at the Salem News. Gary Larrabee has written for the news for many, many years. So, and plus, he's got a lot of books. You read the book on Babe Didrikson, pronounce your last name for me.
Zaharias.
And other stuff as well. He's working on some other books, is Gary. And I don't know, I just love talking to those guys and about those guys. They know so much.
And we would be remiss. Bill Newell received an award. Or Scott Cooper just blurted out, Bill Newell was a 2000 David C. Waitner Media Award winner from the Guinness Foundation, or did he just forget to put the 2001-6?
I don't know, but I hope he did. That's really cool. Bill would never tell us if he wins anything. He just wouldn't do it.
I know. You know, Scott put out 2000 and kind of like threw me. Like,
yeah. Oh, that's great.
Is this like an anniversary of something happening?
I don't know. Well, David Widener was he was a very young sports writer for the Lynn Item many years ago, and in fact. He had just gotten engaged. I believe he was 24 years old, and I was broadcasting a game between Beverly High School and one of the Lynn teams, coach, and I can't remember which one it was, either classical or English, when Dave was stricken in the booth beside me, and I actually performed CPR on Dave. It didn't work. The young man passed away right there in the broadcast booth at age 24. It was horrible. But the Item has honored him, and you know, by this award that they present, the Agganis Foundation has honored him. As a sports writer with this award, and it's wonderful that they're keeping his memory alive. It's just a really sad thing, and he was a pretty damn good sports writer from what I remember. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. Got about 2 minutes left, Coach. Want to clear out the attic. What's on your mind with sports?
Saw an interesting little news article. Julian Edelman is running a women's football camp. Obviously, you know, trying to rack up some numbers.
Of course he is.
And for dates, so...
of course he is.
Certainly, Gary, that, you know, Gary could probably...
There goes the whole character issue we were talking about with the Patriots earlier. Oh, well.
I'm sure there'll be a guest appearance by Gronkowski at that.
Oh, man.
You know, so that'll be interesting. who knows?
Just put a pin in that balloon. Boom, character gone.
Yeah, the Celtics draft, I think they drafted four or five enigmas. Nobody knows who they are or what they're going to turn into. So that's going to be interesting next year as the Celts prepare for another assault on the NBA to try to win another championship. I don't think they have the talent to do it next year either, unless they manage to land a couple of really established stars, one of them being an established middle man. Because they don't have one of those. I know the NBA is not big in them anymore. It's like you play five forwards that are all 6'11". But I don't know. It was almost like a Bill Belichick draft where you don't know anybody and you sort of hoping that you hit on.
But what everybody's leaving out. Everybody's talking championship. You know what, Tim? And you know, in the Boston stations. And to me, it's hey, did we have fun watching that team last year? Were they fun to watch? Were they a basketball team? Did they move the ball? Were they exciting? Did they play a lot of players? Yeah. And were they in most games? Yeah, they were in most games. I'd rather have that than have this. Well, I saw the final, the seventh game.
I didn't watch.
Yawn.
I didn't watch any of it.
Yawn. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? Now, LeBron James, I think, established or reestablished. Yeah, he's the best in the game right now. There's no doubt about it. A man of character. Yeah, he does help out. But he's also... uses the word I a lot, which, you know, a lot of people don't. There was a comparison between Brady and LeBron James and how many times each uses I and each uses we. I'll leave you to figure out which one was which.
You know, and again, I watched again because it's so much fun to watch. the 86 Celtics tribute on John Cena 52 back home. But that is so much fun to watch. How good that team was. Mm. How we... That team.
Well, and the other thing is, you didn't have.
Even though it
they had the 3-point, but I guess in a final championship game, there were 3 3-pointers attempted in the whole game.
They were too busy running Houston off the court. You know, they were just the way that they could pass the ball, and they'd rather pass it. And I mean, and the passes were smart passes. The guys were wide open, but they gave it to them anyways. It was just an amazing. Well, we did it.
Well, and again,
and,
team.
You know, it's you're probably not going to see that again. The only team you see something similar to that has been San Antonio.
Okay, so good luck this week. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thursday morning, 8 o'clock. If
all
I,
right.
If the missus will let me come out, maybe I'll make an appearance at the
end. Well, we'll
see
in 2 weeks.
Feel.
We'll see in 2 weeks. So. All right, that's Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell. I'm Rick Moore. Take care.
This is MSO Radio at msonewsports.com.